On the new podcast, Celebrity Book Club, writer, comedian, and filmmaker Chelsea Devantes and her friends recap and celebrate the memoirs of badass celebrity women.
Yeah, some of the memoirs they cover include Mariah Carey, Jessica Simpson, Demi Moore, Gabrielle Union, and like a billion more.
Yeah, I want to hear what the hell Demi Moore has to say. That's for sure.
Yeah.
She's had some crazy years in the past couple of years.
I know. These are ladies we all know and love and who've been torn down by tabloids and dissected by social media their entire careers, all while facing career obstacles and broken relationships and incredible triumphs, and have come out of it all even stronger.
Listen and subscribe to Celebrity Book Club right now on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yield Brass. It's me, Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hi. Everybody, we have a big announcement. We're homosexuals, but also we're doing a live show. It's our first live show in quite a while, and we're doing it a little bit differently this time. We are using live show software, which is super fancy. We're going to be doing it on a website called On Location, so you can find it at
On Location Live.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have links up on our website that you can find to buy tickets.
We do have links up. Yeah.
They're already links up. So you can go buy your tickets and all that good stuff. And that's going to be on November 12th. It's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern Time and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And guess what? We're going to recap the very first episode ever of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Okay.
Yeah, this is really exciting for us. This is like a it's funny because the very first show that we had to cancel for the pandemic was our Salt Lake City show. It was like a week away, and then everyone was like, Tom Hanks has COVID, and then the world shut down. So it's funny that our first like big proper virtual live show is covering the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So it's gonna be really cool, and you don't have to be a Patreon member to participate in the show. You just can get your ticket and then you can just like sit down in front of your computer and watch, but you can also chat with other audience members. You can chat with us. And if you are a Crappens on Demand Patreon supporter, you get $5 off. Just go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens and the details will be there for how to do that. But we're super psyched to do this. I'm excited, first of all, just for Salt Lake City, for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And I'm also excited to be able to do it in this format. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So go get your tickets. As usual, we're doing a couple videos a week on Crappens on Demand as well on Patreon. Bonus episodes are over there. And I think that's it for announcements, right, Ben?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I've got one more announcement. It's Pastry Week.
It's Pastry Week, otherwise known as every day at my house. Love a pastry. I was proud of myself because I did not order croissants after watching this episode, which is normally my style. Like if I see something, if I hear pizza, I order pizza. If I see a croissant, I will order a croissant. Luckily, there were no croissants on today's show, which I couldn't believe.
Yeah, I didn't order a croissant only because I had already ordered a croissant earlier in the day. And that is not a joke. I already had my croissant of the day. So I played it cool.
Well, Laura would exclaim hashtag exciting because Laura loves saying hashtag in this episode. Okay. That's my big note for Laura this episode. Everything she's like, hashtag pastry, mate. All right. Hashtag pastry. It's what I've made. Hashtag.
Hashtag pizza oven, mate. Hashtag.
Yeah, she's really into hashtag this week. I think she saw it on a pillow somewhere and wherever they're staying, and she's just obsessed with it. So, hello, guess what? It's pastry week. You excited, Noel? And he's like, try one of those, they're delicious.
Yeah, and then Matt's about to eat the pastry, and there's a voice that's like, no, don't eat me, and it's wacky.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Don't eat me. So Noel is in a red flower shirt today. I just have to point it out every time I see one of his crazy shirts so I can remind myself what to buy next time I'm shopping for my middle-aged retirement outfits.
He's like a one-man Pinterest for you.
He is.
Yeah. And Matt, I don't remember what Matt was wearing. I actually did not write it down. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to let Ronnie handle this one this week.
Whatever the, you know, whatever the English version of Costco is. You know, he's just like a plaid shirt from the discount store kind of a guy.
I think it's called Basilco over there.
Is it?
Basil. No, I just made that up.
Basilco.
I just took a very British name and just added co to it. Basilco.
The bakers face the perils of pastry week, taking on the most intricate challenges ever set, making architecture edible, but the wrong kind of flaky can see the best of plans come crashing down.
Oh, I get that. That's like a play on words there.
Did
the
you
wrong
get it?
Kind of flaky. Yeah, I didn't notice it the first time, but when you said it, I realized. Suddenly, I see. Yeah, so we open up, and no one is more excited about pastry week than Linda.
Ooh. She's like,
it's pastry week!
This is the week I was waiting to get to. I can make pastry. Us moms can make pastry.
And Hermine is also very excited. So she's like, I'm looking forward to pastry week. You know, bread week, I said, wasn't my week. And cake week wasn't my week. And just any old week of the year is just not my week. But pastry week, this is my week.
Now, someone told us online that you pronounce Hermine, which I appreciate that. Appreciate the note. But they call her Hermine. So
yeah, they call her Hermine.
Yeah. So. I mean, I just don't know. But in case there's a controversy...
Thank you for addressing that. A thoroughly polite controversy. And Peter's like, well, I can't believe it's halfway. It's halfway really crept up on us. I mean, it's bizarre that we're already getting this far. So bizarre. I mean, who would have thought I've already made it through 4 weeks of my brother berating me every single night in the tent?
And Mark tells us no one wants a soggy bottom. And Laura's like, well, they want more refinement from me, so I want to show them that I can do hashtag elegant, mate, right?
So this week, you know what I've decided to do? I've decided to cart out my pizza oven and cook everything in there and then put it on a doily. That's refinement. Hashtag refinement.
So for the signature challenge, Paul and Prue would like you to make the Cornish dish, the pasties.
Yes. 8 identical pasties with any filling and a decorative finish. And Noel says that if he made pasties, they would be the shape of Paul Hollywood's powerful buttocks.
Yeah, he's very into some harassment of Paul this week, which I like. Yeah. It's just like one long stream of sexual harassment of Paul, which I'm into. Yeah. He pulls it off.
Yeah. So Prue starts. Well, first you have old Mark with a C, who is, I guess he's from Cornwall. So he's like, why did they have to say it's a Cornish national dish? Just to give me more pressure. Oh, goodness. I've got that pasty pressure.
And Prue's kind of snotty. She's like, most of our challenges are pure baking challenges, but this is cooking too. Cooking, disgusting. Monsters, fucking monsters. Probably use onions. Trash.
And Paul says, well, you don't want it to be too dry. Outside has to be thin, buttery, and crispy, but inside we get a filling. I'm like, yeah, that's usually the way filled pastries work, Paul. And Prue is like very much about crimping. She's like, well, it doesn't have to be a Cornish pasty shape. It can be any shape you like, but we want crimping. We want lots and lots of crimping. I must see crimping.
I'm obsessed with crimping. Just please make it crimping. Just please. I would love to see Prue crimping her.
She comes in dressed like a clown, just crimping.
I want the best pasties I've ever had with crimping. All right, you two, calm down over there.
Why does Prue think that she's going to get the best pasty she's ever had right now? Where did she get that notion?
I don't know. Do you remember the head cake challenge? Come on now, Prue. Reel back your expectations.
You remember the brownies? Remember the brownies? Never forget the brownies.
So the judges go to Laura first. Hello, Laura. Making a mess again, I see.
So much for refinement.
It's like, geez, have you put Sleeping Beauty down yet? What the hell, man? He's like the evil queen of the forest. I wish he was a queen. I really don't like that he's a straight guy. It feels unfair.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like he should be like a leather daddy.
Yeah, like a really judgy leather daddy where you're like, okay, he's mean to me, but I've also seen him sit on a traffic cone, so I can forgive it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
So Laura making a mess. I have a pizza oven, mate. So she's going to make a cheese and onion traditional pasty. And Noel is like, well, Paul just said to me not 30 seconds ago that he likes a cheese and onion pasty and he hates pizza ovens and women named Laura. So good luck.
Thanks, mate. Hashtag thanks, mate. Lottie is making a rough puff, and so are Peter and Linda as well. They are really reimagining the traditional pasty. I'm like, ooh, they really live on the edge with their rough puff pasty.
I love a rough puff. Mm-hmm. So then we go to Linda. She's like, you're meant to see streaks of butter in your pasty.
It's like, Linda, you're just smearing dirt in yours. What's going on?
Oh, is that dirt? I thought it was the butter.
Linda's just rubbing butter all over her face like a crazy lady.
Linda, do you realize that you've incorporated rubber bands into your dough?
Oh, really? I wasn't aware. Oh, well, you know us mums, we're always resourceful.
Mark, and Dave are making a sturdy short crust, but her mind's creating a pastry all her own. And she's like, it's the best of both worlds. Not quite a buff, not quite a crisp, not quite a short. It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah. It's like Hannah Montana, right? It's the Hannah Montana of puff pastry. So she's doing something with preserved lemons, raisins, lamb, chickpea tagine. It looks delicious.
Yeah, she's doing a Moroccan style. Yeah. And Prue's like, sounds delicious, as long as the pastry doesn't fall to bits.
I'm in your head now. You just got prude.
You've just been prude. The prugasm.
So Mark. Prugasm. So then young Mark with a K, he's doing like an aloo gobi with basically cauliflower paneer, Indian style. And Prue goes up to him and is like, it's last week's star baker. How do you feel today? Like a failure? Because that's what you'll be. Ooh, you just got prude.
He's like, well, nerves. I've still got nerves today. And she's like, that's the thing. Star baker means nothing. It's like, geez, were you making out with Paul before this? He's running off on you.
I know. She is just like savage today. Well, you have to prove yourself every single time. Can't spell prove without prue. You just got prued.
So now it's time to work on fillings. And Linda's like, oh, that's gorgeous.
That's absolutely gorgeous, Linda. You're smelling your shoe. Yes, I like that scent quite a bit.
And Lottie's like, I'm making a toad in the hole pasty. Toad in the hole less, because it's not going to be a hole.
She's so angry at her own work. But it's going to have mashed potato, fennel gravy, and sausage. And Prue is still on her. She's on a roll. She's like, oh, Lottie, I'm not totally convinced by this. Of course, I'm talking about your makeup. It's awful. Also, this could be a really stodgy pasty. I can't have a stodgy pasty at all, Lottie.
I have hope, if not faith. It's like, wow, way to diss a poor sitcom while you're at it. So Lottie's well, I'm going to take that with me home, probably, because she hates it. Hateful old woman.
I liked also that Prue goes, well, Lottie, you are always original, which is the British way of saying, you're a freak of nature, get out of my tent.
Yeah. So Noel's like halfway through, and Matt, you know, basically everyone's in a rush. So I had to write down every single little thing they said. But Matt's like, where does the time go? Where does all the time go? And Noel's like, into a small bum bag Paul Hollywood wears. That's where time goes, kids.
Time after time. So Peter is making fish pasties, and in a very British, like, this is, I love how British this show is. He's like, well, I'm going to be making pasties in the shape of a haddock. I'm going to make many, many haddocks, and they're going to all be filled with haddock. They're going to be haddocks shaped, pasties in the shape of haddock filled with haddock.
Yeah, and rice, filled with rice and haddock. And Noel's like, well, do you ever think slightly of going to the finals? And he's like, well, I don't want to be murdered at night by my creepy brother, so hopefully finals will make it. Hopefully I'll make it to finals. My brother is terrifying. You just see like a shadow behind him.
Don't fuck up the haddock, stupid.
My brother says I can have extra granola bars tonight if I don't fuck up the haddock. Oh, did I say fuck?
So Noel goes to check on Linda, and she's like, oh, they're going to be in the shape of a samosa. We've been together a few times. I've walked and walked and walked. I used to walk quite a way in the morning just to get these samosas and get going.
I used to have these lovely walking shoes that I got in India. They were in the shape of mackerels, and I just walk and walk and walk. And then one day I realized they actually were just two mackerels just rotting on my feet. Oh, it was a lovely time.
So she's doing spicy Indian pasties with chicken, coriander, and potato. And she's like, yeah. I'm going to attempt to put a karma symbol on there. Karma!
Yeah, by the way, I like that she's like, I'm making my pasties in the shape of samosas. You're making samosas.
Well, so is that the only difference then in a pasty and a samosa? Because I think
the pasty is different, a little bit different.
Oh, okay.
I mean, probably a lot. I mean, I don't know what the pastry is in a samosa. Don't mind me. But I'm just saying, like...
Because in America, a pasty is something you put on your nipple so you can show your boobs, but then you don't get in trouble with the law.
That's a samosa also. You can put a samosa on your nipples.
That's true. Well, I mean, in my house.
I have... You know, Madonna's cone bra was inspired by two samosas that she once strapped on her boobs. It's like, I like this. Make it my statement.
So Dave is taking inspiration from his travels, and this week he hates Mexico. Don't know what Mexico's done to him, but Mexico is now out in Dave's world.
Yeah, Dave is like, yes, I'm making a pasty that's been inspired by Asia Mexico called Thailand. It's Thai basil chicken with sweet chili dipping sauce and taco seasoning. Because I love Mexico. I can't help myself.
This is inspired from enchiladas I had in Thailand. They're like, no, Dave. Did you mean Mexico? No, not at all. Tamale, guacamole, and chili con queso pasties. Dave, that's Mexico. Por favor, necesito agua pasties, all right. That's Mexico, Dave.
In Thailand, they have the most remarkable thing. They take avocados and they mash them up with some onions and some garlic, and you eat them with these special little Thai chips called tortillas. Like, Dave, you're talking about Mexico again.
Can't wait to serve you my jumping bean pasties, like Dave. Okay, so now they're doing rolling out and making little shapes to make them fancy. 45 minutes left, and the bakers must be careful to manage every second. The more time spent building the pasties, the less time they'll have in the oven.
So oh, enjoy having a little bit less time in the oven, bad pasty. So Mark, old Mark, is making Cornish fish pasties with monkfish, samphire, and asparagus. And Paul is like, so Mark, you're from Cornwall, so no pressure or anything, but how many pleats are you doing, huh? And Mark's like, I don't know, as many as I can. Well, there's a set number. There's a set Cornwall number. The laws of Cornwall say that there's a set number of pleats. Are you gonna do it? I'm not gonna tell you.
Yeah, I mean, wow, they've really got it down over there. A certain number of little crimps that you have to put in there.
Yeah, like who is in charge of that in Cornwall? Like, who is in the official office of Cornwall pasty?
Girl, you know, it's like the Earl of Cornwall or some shit. They have, like, he's probably got his own goddamn castle that's been passed down from century to century because he numbered pleats on a fucking pasty.
It's probably Jules from Ladies of London. She's like, well, one of my honors is that being married to the Earl of Sandwich, I also am in charge of the official record of how many crimps go into a Cornish pasty. So, well, that's a lot of pressure.
So it's up to the baker on how many crimps. And Linda's like, not mine. Samosa style. No crimps for me. If you've got a problem with it, talk to going.
Crimping it easy. So, I'm like, why are you not doing crimps? You're supposed to have crimps, Laura. I'm Linda.
I mean, come on, Linda.
Come on, Linda.
And Noel tells her, because she's doing a butter wash on hers, and Noel tells her, I like to imagine when Paul has a bath that's in butter, that's how he gets that nice bronzed look.
I feel like Paul likes to imagine that too, to be honest.
Yeah. And he does have like a rotisserie chicken tan, you know. So Lottie's like, well, I know they're supposed to be nice and neat, but Vikings are messy bastards. And if they don't like it, Prue's head will be on a stake warning future judges not to fuck with my eyeliner. Got it?
Always original, that Lottie. Always original. So Lottie's are all melting. And Peter's adding nice little scales to his fish. The other thing is that Linda said that she was going to be, her whole plan was to do a yin and yang on her, on her pasties. And she, you even see in the drawing this whole like ornate thing and everything. And then she just cut to her and she's just like throwing the Nigella seeds all over them. Like, no karma sign this time around.
Yeah. And they tell her that they look like samosas instead of pasties. But to me, they look like sfiha, which is Greek, Lebanese, you know, Arabic thing, basically.
Yeah.
But you know, old delicious. You can put bread on anything. Like I discovered recently just eating toast. I think because I've been watching so many British shows, because I watched this one and I watched Line of Duty, which is like a British cop show. And I'm like, toast. You know what sounds good suddenly? Toast. I'm not really a toast eater, but lately I've been like, toast and making a little tea. I mean, you guys are gonna rub off on me.
I know. I've actually been making toast as well. It's weird because I've been buying loaves of bread and like fancy bread, and then I just like toast it and dip it in olive oil or put it on like
delicious. It's like one of the simplest meals ever, and I just freaking love it. So thank you, our forefathers.
Thank you.
So, Lottie. Oh no, I'm still on Lottie. So Linda, Linda's just like starts dropping seeds everywhere. Which, if you've ever had ants in your house, is a terrifying look for something to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we go to hers are still raw a little, and everyone's freaking out because they're trying to get their cook times right, basically.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Linda's like, "Well, I've got them at 250. It's like a pizza oven in there." And Linda just gets a boner.
Laura, don't you dare talk about the pizza oven.
Is someone doing some pizza oven fanfic over there, mate? I'm hashtag aroused, all right?
I knew a pizza oven. I worked with a pizza oven. And you, ma'am, are no pizza oven.
So Lotties are just leaking. And they don't, I don't see any crimps. They just look like balls of dough. They look delicious. I just want to stuff about five of them in my face, but I don't see any crimping, which I know will be an issue. And then they cut to Dave, and he goes, "This is a Thai sweet chili dipping sauce." I'm like, "Shut up, Dave. Okay, congratulations. You made a condiment. All right, I don't want to hear it. You abandoned Mexico."
Yeah, after what you did to Mexico today, as if they haven't been through enough, Dave. Who's Dave. Waiting for tacos now, Dave?
So then Linda's she's like a full on disaster, and she has now cranked up her oven. And so there's like, it's like 5, 4, 3, and she opens up her oven. It's just like smoke coming out. It's like the most Linda thing you would expect. You know, just a big smoky oven.
Oh, poor Linda. And then Lottie starts putting her little toadless, holeless, toadless things into little toads that her cousin made, which is like so cute.
That's
and also
charming in theory. It looked like she was putting them on like piles of dung. It looked like it was like a big pile of shit, and she was putting pasties on them.
I know, she had to use them because her cousin made them. I felt for her. I felt for her in that moment.
Me too.
And Mark with the C is like, "Rustic is good, right? That's what we always say. Good old corny."
So now it's time for judging. And old Mark is up first, Mark with a C, and Prue, of course, is like, "Now, Mark, you do have the weight of Cornwall on you, so no pressure whatsoever. How many pleats?
Cornish fish pasties." Paul's like, "You're lacking on pleats."
How many pleats was I supposed to do? About 21, so you're about 7 short, you failure to Cornwall.
He's like, and as I usually say to Prue at the end of a night, bone dry. And you have cream as well? More cream. Too dry. Dry, 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 die, dry. Dry rhymes with die on purpose. This should die. It's too dry.
And now Peter's, which look very good. And they're like, "Oh, it looks like a real fish. Did you hear that, brother? They said it looks like a real fish. Do I get my granola bar yet?" "Two more challenges, Peter. 2 more to granola time."
And Prue's like, "I was worried it would be stodgy, but it is a bit dry." And Paul's like, "Well, you've got rice on pastry. Dry, dry."
And then it's Lottie's turn, and they're all messy, but Paul likes the color, and Prue's like, "Well, I think it's very witchy. It's a very witchy thing. We said, make a pasty, and you made some sort of round dough ball and stuck it on a piece of clay that looks like a turd. Very witchy."
So she does a click-click noise. Click-click. click, click, nice.
Who does Prue?
I don't know. Yeah, I wrote click, click, nice from Prue. And Paul's like, well, the mashed potato works. Can you believe it? And Prue's like, well, I said it wouldn't work. I was wrong. I would like to announce to you, and Mark, I would like you to announce this to Cornwall as well. I was wrong.
Mark, as your ambassador to Cornwall, I just want to say this was not stodgy at all. Not stodgy. My fears of stodginess.
So we get to Dave, and Dave's like, well, I've made Thai basil chicken enchiladas. I'm like, no, Paul. No.
Oh, I really like that you put chilies on top and your on top of your pasties. It's very, very obvious. A very obvious classic Dave thing. There's chilies inside, so you put a chili on the outside. Where'd it go, Dave?
Flavor's okay. Dry though, dry. Rice dries things out. You've lost the flavor of the chicken. I mean, it's all right. It just doesn't wow me. Have I said dry yet? Hold on. What? I've got something in my dry. It was dry.
No, wait, I'd like to try it with that sauce. Now, what do you call that sauce? Salsa. don't think so. I think it's a Thai chili sauce.
Nachos.
From Mexico.
No, Dave. Mariachi. No, it's not even food, Dave. Come on, Dave.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
What if there was a place you could discover all of the world's best independent ethical brands? A platform which takes the effort out of finding sustainably produced fashion, jewelry, accessories, homeware, beauty, and gifts without compromising on quality, design, or price. Meet Wolf & Badger. Wolf & Badger delivers limited edition collections from artisans around the globe, items produced in small quantities and made to last, right to your door or to try on in stores in London and New York. Rather than framing products around trends, Wolf & Badger places emphasis on the creators and the stories behind their unique products. Their sustainability guarantees mean that not only will you be one of a handful of people to own each piece, but you'll be shaping the future world that you want to live in. Beyond five-star reviews, they've been featured in the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, and in Drapers, which just named them the Sustainable Retailer of the Year in 2020. Support small business and find a new way to shop. Visit wolfandbadger.com today and save 10% off your first order. Just use code STITCHER at checkout. That's STITCHER at checkout. Discover unforgettable gifts and find your new favorite designers, all at Wolf and Badger.
Big news, Peacock, the streaming service from NBC Universal, is home to your favorite reality shows.
You just go to peacocktv.com for free full seasons of Chrisley Knows Best, Below Deck, Southern Charm, American Ninja Warrior. Whoa!
I mean, come on, people. We are a podcast that specializes in Bravo. So if you want to watch your Real Housewives, your Vanderpump Rules, your Top Chef, I mean, I don't even know what else I have to tell you, okay?
Okay? You can watch all these shows from the very beginning, which is very different because they haven't always been available, so it's really great to have this now. And they have hundreds of hit movies, thousands of episodes of your favorite shows, current shows, timeless classics, timely updates included. Okay!
All right, you know what? Watch for free or upgrade for more on your TV, tablet, or phone, okay?
Go to peacocktv.com to download and start streaming now. Whoa!
It's commercial.
So Mark, with a K, has his Indian paneer. So Prue's like, do you know that that's what a pasty should look like? Big, soft, tender. It's like, get a room, Prue. Jeez.
I know. Oh, it's firm enough. But if not to hurl over a hedge, to hold into your hand. Like, Prue, why are you throwing your pasties over the hedge? What do you have against Wilson?
Tastes beautiful. Nice kick of heat. Texture spot on. Gorgeous. Can't even say dry, which sort of pisses me off. Hate you. Love your food.
It's heaven. It's absolute heaven. But we shall not be shaking your hand because you're a very small person who sits at a large desk. Oh, no, the other way around. Large person, small desk. Disgusting.
And Matt shakes his hand. He's like, well done. You realize that this is a completely valueless handshake, don't you? Hermine,
she just needed a few more minutes with her pastry just to get the color that they wanted. But the filling, they're nice, fat pasties. And Paul is like, filling's beautiful. Beautiful. That's a lovely pasties. That's a lovely pasties. I'm going to stare at you and not shake your hand. Ha! You got bold.
Got you. And so they gush over it. And then Linda, spicy Indian pasties. You did read the stuff about crimping, didn't you, Linda, dear? Why do you have lipstick all over your face?
Oh, yeah, I crimped something. I took a fork and I found a mackerel. It was a live mackerel. I just mashed it with a fork until it was all crimped up. It's like, no, the pastry, not the mackerel, Linda. Why with the mackerels?
Linda, why do you have a fork sticking out of your temple, darling?
Well, I was crimping myself. Crimping myself, it's fun to do. No, crimp the pastry. Oh, I did crimp the pastry. Oh, no. I just realized I crimped me cheekbone.
So Paul's like, so basically a samosa you made. A bit broken up. Perhaps longer in the oven. Perhaps more well thought out. Perhaps read the instructions. Perhaps crimped. Maybe. And Prue's like, stenciling didn't work, but the flavor is delicious. Poor, poor Linda. Linda, stop trying to bite off your own pinky, darling. Come on, Linda, come back, Linda. Come back.
Okay, Linda, stop chasing that duck around. Come back into the tent.
So then Laura, but Paul does say, well done. He liked the taste of it.
Yeah.
Then Laura, proper tasty pasties is what she's made, mate. And he's like, nice color, beautiful glow, little crimping.
Yeah. I like the fact that they're nice and fat. I like that quite a bit. Heaven. Flaky pastry holding together. I could gobble it all up.
But moist in the middle, but not wet. Tastes like 40 to me, darling. Very well done. So Paul's like, spot on. And, you know, well done, Laura. And she's like, to impress Paul with pastry and Prue with filling. Double whammy there. Hashtag double whammy, all right?
Yeah. So, and Hermine is happy. And Linda's like, well, I knew the flavors were going to be good. I knew that. I could smell them. So, you know, I could smell those flavors. Oh, wait. I wasn't smelling those flavors at all. Turns out I stuck some mackerel up me nostrils.
Okay, now they could practice that one, right? But now is the technical challenge. And it's not practiced. And Prue has set up this challenge. And she just tells them it's all about refinement. The inside must be as perfect as the outside, unlike Paul, who's sad and dead on the in, but gorgeously tender on the out.
He's like an overcooked potato.
So they have to make 3 raspberry and 3 salted caramel eclairs. So they start getting down to business, and we go over to Paul and Prue, who are sitting at their little table, and Paul's like, hey, Claire's is a technical challenge. Personally, I think it's a good one. Mwah. And Prue's like, well, most people think eclairs are very easy, but then again, these people couldn't make brownies. So, I mean, this is might as well be figuring out cold fusion for them.
Yeah. I've actually made these. I haven't made the long ones, but what do you call them when you just make the little dot, like the little circles, little balls?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the same thing, but balls.
It starts with a P. It's choux pastry and it's profiterole.
Yes. Oh, my God. I used to make those. I had a profiterole moment back in my baking year when I got a KitchenAid. God, those things are good. And they're amazing to mess up because they take some practice. But, God, messing those things up, you just get to sit there and eat your messed up ones.
Messed up profiteroles.
Yeah.
So, basically, Prue says, like, well, they seem very easy, but if you want really high-end and elegant special ones, go to a different show. Otherwise, we'll just watch this challenge.
Yeah, so they get their janky instructions, you know. It's like, turn on oven. The end. Thank you for coming.
I know. Their first thing is they have to make a choux pastry. Now, you would think that they've all memorized how to make a choux pastry because every year they have to make a choux pastry for pastry week. Like, it's just part of what they do. And Linda sees the instructions and it goes, just make a choux? Are they talking about a walking shoe or shoe like the pastry?
Yeah, Laura's got flip flops in a pot. She's just stirring around.
So Linda's like, well, it's been a long time since I've made shoe pastry, so I'm not entirely sure that I've done this correctly, but I'm trying. It's like, Linda, your bowl is upside down. You're not doing it correctly.
So Noel goes to Mark first, Mark with the C. And he's like, wow, look at that, a lot of writing, those instructions. You know, she writes books, can you tell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they're all just like making their choux pastries. And one thing that they're doing is they're holding their spoon up. And if the batter like starts to ooze off the spoon into a V shape, then they know that their choux pastry is where it's supposed to be, which was cool for me. I don't know why. I like when things turn into letters.
I want to make these now because I just had that memory of making these and they were so good. I think I'm going to go to the grocery store the second this is done.
Really?
So, yeah. I mean, doesn't that sound good?
I mean, I used to love eclairs when I was younger. Like, I loved
love them.
So
well, no, I'm going to make profiteroles. I'm not going to make eclairs. They're better as balls. I don't like the whole thing to have to try and figure out how to stuff. I like the little balls.
Yeah. Okay. I support that. I support you making some. I think what you should do is you should make that the profiterole tower. I forget what it's called, but you know, it's like
yes,
very fancy.
Yes, that was stolen later by the macaron. The macaron.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's see. Oven time. So there's no instructions for the oven. So they're just kind of guessing it, basically. And now they have to make their custard to go on the inside as fitting.
Yeah. And yeah, because they've got them and they're just like stirring. And Peter's like, I'm stirring to make sure it's not lumpy. My brother hates lumpy creme pat. He says, if I make a lumpy creme pat, he's going to beat me over the head with a twig for 3 hours straight. I can't have that.
Well, his abusive brother in our imagination really helps him because his, of course, look perfect. And then Noel goes over to Dave and he's like, Dave, are you left-handed or right-handed? Left-handed. You know, a left-handed person has never won this before, right? Nor someone who's worn a yellow shirt like you are today. So good luck. Good luck, Dave.
Dave, I'm so glad we found some personality for you. Left-handed. There you go.
So Lottie is like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Just finding new ways to make scrambled eggs, I suppose.
And Linda's over there acting like me when I'm fully into eating disorder mode. Just like, no, I don't want to eat all of these. I'll pour water on them so I don't have to eat them. Because she doesn't, she had failures as her first go round. So she's just like putting water on them. And I'm like, current me, present day me is like, no, you'll want that in the morning.
It's so true. And then Mark, Mark with a C, old Mark, his choux pastry was janky. But unlike Linda, he's just like, fuck it, I'm going with it. Because his eclairs just, like, deflate. And so they basically they look like clown shoes. Mm-hmm. And he's like, whatever, I'm going for it. I don't care. So he's just, okay, fine.
And Matt tells him, is it harder to cook on television? Would you want to go on other shows like Naked Attraction? I won't go on to Naked Attraction because my body is my business.
So Linda's starting her shoe again. And Hermione, now they're making caramel because, you know, one of them has to be caramel, one of them has to be raspberry. And so a lot of them are working on their caramels, but Linda is still working on her second batch of eclairs. And the second batch is also failing terribly.
Yeah. And she's the show is way more abusive than they show because Linda has like a big wrist gash. Did you notice it?
Every week she has some sort of bandage on.
I know, but this week looked like self-harm. I was like, guys, stop. Be nicer to Linda, okay? For Christ's sake. So hers still aren't working. And Matt's like, do you want me to go to the supermarket and just buy some for you? And then Peter is all positive. He's like, oh, I'm in my comfort zone now. Oh, I love gluten. And a knife just passes right by his face.
I'm sorry. I'll never cook gluten again.
I'm sorry, brother.
Everyone's doing like they're making their fillings and stuff. Linda is still working. She's on batch number 3 of her choux pastry, which is really not a good sign that you're on batch number 3 and everyone's working on their fillings and their toppings.
I know, but it's also so sexy that somebody can just whip out 3 choux pastries, isn't it, in that amount of time? And then Dave is dead to me. You know,
Dave,
I know
I'm
that
so
you don't like Dave.
This.
I've really had no problem with Dave. He looks like he's trying so hard, but he's dead to me now because they're making fillings. And Dave's like, I've made raspberry yogurt instead of raspberry. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Dead to me, sir.
And he's so proud. He's like, I thought rather than doing creme patisserie, I'd do a raspberry yogurt to go inside. So here it goes. I'm like, way to go, Dave. You've revolutionized eclairs that have been around for how many hundreds of years. And you're the one who figured out a new filling for it. No, it's not going to work, Dave. Don't do it, raspberry yogurt. Do it creme pat.
Yeah, no one thinks of eclairs and thinks, oh, I hope my probiotics are in balance so I can poop great. Okay, it's eclair, Dave.
It's literally pastry week. You should be making a creme pat. This is a technical challenge. Do what they tell you to do.
Yeah. And piping. Now they have to do piping. And Lottie's like, not my finest. And Linda's third time comes out of the oven, and she's only got 5 minutes left. Dun, dun, dun.
And then Mark has his flat éclair, his clown shoes, and he's trying to fill them, which is also very sad. And then for me, what was very gratifying was after Dave thought he could game the system with his raspberry yogurt, when he tries to then like insert it into his éclair, the yogurt just goes everywhere. I was like, ha, that's what you get, Dave, for your raspberry yogurt hack.
Yeah, it looks all barfy. So poor Linda just has to, just shove stuff on top. I don't even think she tries filling.
She basically makes churros, more or less.
Yeah, they look.
She just has like batons, doughy batons, and dipping sauces.
Yeah, and she's like, "I've done what I've can. Don't look great." Poor Linda, love her.
Poor Linda, she's really struggling. So now it's time for judging, and first up is Dave, who has the right color, but raspberry. This one's empty and that one's runny. Completely liquid. I guess that was Prue saying that, but she was impersonating Paul in my mind.
Yeah, she's like, nice flavor, though. And then Lottie's are neat, and they're all the same size, and they're set pretty well. And Paul's like, split, consistency wrong. It's like, whoops. So, geez. So then Linda's turn, and Paul's like, oh, it's a dip one. And he just throws it down. He goes, that's terrible.
I know. It's just so harsh. Was it dry? Was it stodgy? No, it was just terrible. All around terrible.
And then Hermine is next, and Prue likes him because he's nice and fat. And Paul's like, well, the eclair's baked well.
Hmm. Well, for an ordinary person, at least. And then Laura is up. Laura, I don't know why I said it like I'm from Long Island. Laura's up next, okay? And hers are very skinny, but they look neat enough. You know, look like a pizza oven owner trying to be fancy for once.
Paul's like, the textures are all wrong. And Mark C. Prue says his look like a caterpillar, and a lot's wrong, and the creme pat is scrambled, the pastry is underbaked. Jeez.
But otherwise, it's delicious.
I feel like these people are being mean to my friends, and by my friends, I don't mean the contestants, I mean the carbs. Like, how could you talk to a carb like that? Even at its worst, it's still a sweet piece of bread with sugar.
I agree.
Like, come on, I agree. Guys. Find it in your hearts.
So then they get to young Mark, and Prue's like, okay, I'm cheering up because these are more or less okay. This look wonderful. I mean, what could go wrong? They're the perfect shape, the perfect size. They don't look like they're soggy in the middle. Let's go. No, they're empty. It's empty. It's empty. There's nothing in there.
Dreams are dead. Thank you, son. So worst to best, Linda's last. Then Mark with a C. Then Laura. Then Dave. Then Lottie. Then Mark. Then Hermine. And then Peter, of course.
Peter. And then Prue goes, my only quarrel is that they were just a little bit fat. My only quarrel. I was like, that's so British to say that.
I know. She's like, let me read from Ronnie's yearbook right now to say, a little bit fat but lovely. Well done. And Peter's like, that's the first time I've won the technical, so take it off the bucket list. Shut up, Peter. Okay,
I'll tell you when you get to take anything off the bucket list, brother.
Not bucket list yet, bitch.
How about you take this one off the bucket list, being an annoying fart?
So Linda's like, well, that's disgusting, but tomorrow's another day.
She's losing her mind at this point, by the way. She's just like a crazy old lady laughing at her jokes, talking like walking in circles on the sidewalk.
Yeah. So then, they have this like after show that people were telling us to watch, and I didn't watch it, but I looked it up because people said there's an after show. So anyway, I looked it up, and Linda's she just looks so pretty. Her hair's all done. She's got her makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad Linda wins everything just by staying hot. You go, girl.
Stay hot, Linda. Stay hot like that oven that destroyed several batches of shoe pastry for you.
So the showstopper challenge is a caged tart. It's like the one day I decided to protest. caged tart.
How dare they say that about you? So then, they have to make a sweet tart contained within a latticed pastry cage, must be self-supporting and highly decorative.
This is kind of a random thing, right? Like, tart, but then also put a cage on top of it. Is that a thing that people do?
I want to say that's ridiculous. And then, someone's going to be like, well, actually, in the court of King Louis XIV, it was a commonplace thing to put a tart in a cage, and it was called a blah, 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 blah. And if it weren't for that important piece of pastry history, Robespierre would still be alive.
So Noel is like, do you know who invented the cage tart? It was actually Nicolas Cage. In what does he say?
I didn't commit it.
Yeah, at some point he said, okay, so I looked it up online. This is from Reality Titbit, which is funny, instead of Tidbit. It's like Reality Titbit. So who did invent the cage tart? Was it actually Nicolas Cage? We've done some research to find out. Did Nicolas Cage invent the cage tart? Nicolas is a 56-year-old American actor and filmmaker. He starred in films, blah, blah, blah. According to Noel, okay, guys, just tell me the answer. Do you make more money by making me read five paragraphs? seriously. So according to JoePastry.com, tarts in general come from the medieval pie-making tradition and are in fact a kind of flat, open-faced pie. Knew that. Short crust came into common use about 200 years after pies in 1550, but the cage tart is just one section of the circle of tarts. The name of the exact person who invented the cage tarts is unknown. Well, thanks for wasting my whole fucking day, Reality Titbits. God. And then their next article is, does Matt Lucas have alopecia? Okay. You know what? I did this to myself.
You did it. Is Matt Lucas an albino? Is albino okay to say? I never know these days. I want to make sure I'm being respectful.
I don't know.
But I'm just curious. Obviously there's no issue with it. I'm just, my brain is curious about things. I have thoughts.
Your brain is a caged tart. It just wants to break free and know everything.
I'm like a tart in the shape of a taco under the Louvre's pyramid.
I'm a Thai cage tart in Mexico nacho land. So Matt's like, must be self-supporting and highly decorative and taste superb. And then Linda's like, the sun is shining and I'm smiling. I am at the moment until we're dishing it up, which will probably be suicidal. But for now, I'm doing great.
Nothing could go wrong whatsoever. Oh, I'm just gonna make a cage out of pastry. Should be easy. I change my voice for her every single time. I just have like this. I have like this like a collection of strange British voices that I just give to everyone. Like I really, there's no rhyme or reason to any of my British accents. Sometimes someone speaks like this, and sometimes someone speaks like this, and sometimes someone speaks like that. I'm just gonna do whatever comes to my mind first. Okay.
I just envisioned you reading Harry Potter to yourself. Years at a time.
I thought I would be better at them after, watching so much Love Island UK, but it turns out I'm not.
So Paul's like, well, it can't be too solid. Got to be structurally sound. Has to be luscious with very crispy base. Lots of filling, beautiful top. Don't fuck off.
Short walk to town and must be not too close to the road.
So they're free to use whatever pastry they choose, but each dough has a different job to do. So let's see them get to work. Peter's making a hazelnut pastry, and Dave's like, I'm making a French-Mexican sweet Thai pastry I can't pronounce.
So and then Prue is talking about the tart, and she's saying, well, it has to be absolutely luscious, the kind of tart you just want to eat a huge amount of, but you shouldn't, because it's very rich. You don't want to be naughty, naughty at all. I'd have quite a quarrel with someone if they ate too much tart.
So Lottie is using three kinds of pastry, and she's going to do like a pyramid apple tree tart. And then Paul is like, well, I question if it will be a tart without sides. And she's like, I looked up the definition of tart, and it says it's a flat pastry, Paul.
Stupid.
Yeah.
I call it a sideless tart. There, how about that, Paul?
But she's not the only one into triangles these days. Dave is making his cage inspired by the Louvre.
Yes, it's inspired by the Louvre, but he's going back to his favorite thing, mango and lime. Because didn't he say that a few weeks ago? My favorite flavor, sort of my signature flavors, mango and lime. I invented mango and lime. It's like, yeah, of course.
They love mango on this show. There must be mango in seeds. There's mango in every show so far.
I have been thinking about mango because actually all this talk about Thailand, you know, it was exactly a year ago that I went to Thailand. I hopped on a plane and went to Thailand for that wedding. Remember when I went? I can't believe it's already been a year since then. And when I was in Thailand, all I did was eat mango and sticky rice. And that's really, I woke up this morning saying, I want mango and sticky rice. So basically Dave has triggered me and I'm angry.
I'm mango. So Linda is making her tart case. And she's like, just trying not to overstretch it. And then Mark with the K is like, oh, I'm making a crispy bottom.
I
said crispy bottom.
I also, by the way, I just want to go back to Dave 1 second, because when Dave is his plan for his cage to look like the Louvre, he's gonna like glue it together with caramel, and Prue sees it and goes, well, that's going to be very difficult. Well, good luck. Stupid.
Good luck, idiot. And then Dave tells Laura, he's like, Laura, I just love it when you beat the butter. Yeah. Like, no, you don't. You look so annoyed. You know, he's like, oh, there's Laura beating the butter again. How am I supposed to concentrate on my quesadilla cookie taco with her over there beating the butter like that?
Did that count as personality, me making that joke about butter? Did that? I'm left-handed too. And I like Mexico.
So the judges go check with Laura, and she's making key lime inspired by botanical theme. All right, I'm making the Kent Garden Tart with Italian meringue and a domed lattice with pastry, snails, and hashtag butterflies.
I love key lime pie. It's probably one of my most favorite things, key lime pie. It's just a great flavor. I just love key lime pie. I love it so much. Yeah, yes, key lime. It's like Paul subscribes to like key lime Playboy. Just like. Yeah, naked key limes, yeah.
Yeah, pornhub.com/key lime.
Mm. I'm a limer. That's for guys who are really into limes.
So let's see, Peter. I certainly did not make a pastry cage before this challenge. I've never heard of a pastry cage. What pastry cage? I've never practiced a day in my life.
That's because you belong in a metal cage. So get back in there, Peter, when you're done.
So Lottie is doing something with chocolate. Wait, well, I don't know what I wrote. I can't read this line, so Ben, it's up to you.
I don't know what that line was either, but I can say that Hermine is making a lemon tart, and she's making a pastry cage. Well, of course she's making a pastry cage, because that's the challenge. I don't know why I felt like writing that. Hey, guys, Hermine's doing something different from everyone else. She's making a cage out of pastry.
And she's also doing something for Paul, because she's making a tangy lemon lime meringue.
And Prue says, oh, Hermine, you had such a great day yesterday. Can you do it again? No pressure, but I am going to get into your head a little bit. Do you think you can do it again and not fail? You can't fail. Don't fail, Hermine. Don't fail. You just got prude.
She's like, I'm hoping. I keep saying bread week isn't mine, biscuit week isn't mine, but guess what? This is my week. Oh, really? Well, I've brought over a fail pill just in case things start getting a little wonky, darling.
And then we go over to Linda, who is putting yellow and red strands of dough on a bowl. And it just already looks like a failure. It already looks like that dough is going to break before anything has happened.
Like, I think it looks really pretty, but yeah, I was like, I need a plan for this. Tent.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not going to work.
And Lottie is cutting from stencils, and Mark's making little circles, and Mark has a lattice color. And yeah, Linda's is just like, I'm going to braid some hair, if hair was dough, on a bowl.
I found some mud outside by the tent, and I put it in here, and I give it some food coloring, and then I stretch the mud into straps, and I put the straps in the bowl. I think it's going to be delicious. Mm.
And Peter's doing just kind of wavy lines all over a bowl as his mold, yeah, which is crazy. It's not structurally sound, but guess what? It's modern art. So Hermine is making hearts, and David's making little rhomboid things. And
Matt, he would make rhomboids.
And Matt goes over to Laura and he's like, who would you put in a cage if you could put anyone here in a cage? And she's like, a mini Peter would be cute, wouldn't it?
And what would you feed him? She probably has thought about that a lot, actually. I just want to feed Peter cheese in a cage.
Yeah. So, Matt and Noel, it's halfway through.
And they have pizza paddles, and they're like bouncing an apple from paddle to paddle, and then Noel breaks his paddle.
So then Mark and Matt, Mark with the C, is talking to Matt, and Matt's like, what has gone wrong so far? And he's like, well, I'm making a message in a bottle. So this, the cage is going to be a bottle, and then there's going to be pear and ginger cream, and then there's going to be pear, and then under that there will be pear with pear on it. My daughter, this is Mark with the K. He's like, it's going to be a bottle cage with lots of pear. Hee hee hee.
Do you know how many pears you can fit onto a tiny desk? I do.
And Freya's like, goodness, what an ambitious business.
So now they're working on flavors, and Lottie's doing something with popcorn in her creme pat, and Linda's mixing together sugar and evaporated milk, which sounds, I'm like, that sounds delicious. I can already imagine what that's going to be. She's making a gypsy tot. It's coffee and brandy, sponge topped with rose water and flavored pastry dome. And Noel's like excited because he used to have gypsy tarts when he was a kid, and he hasn't had one since. So big prospects for the gypsy tart.
And now for Mark with the C. He's like, I'm also banking on favorite bake with my blackberry apple pie.
Yeah. My favorite pudding in the whole wide world is blackberry and apple pie. I was like, okay, Mark, settle down. Relax.
So they're getting their cages out of the oven now, and they have to cool their cages. And now we get to see them try and take their cages off, I guess.
Now they have to cook their tarts.
Oh, okay.
So they're cooking their tarts while the cages are cooling, and they're making tarts. And a lot of the tarts, Dave's, honestly, as much as I hate on Dave, his tart looked amazing. It was so beautiful. And a lot of the tarts looked very, very pretty. Most of them did, not all of them.
Yeah, I thought they looked really good too, but I was concentrating mostly on the cage.
Yeah, because now is when they start taking the cages off. I really wanted to make sure to stop the podcast and let everyone know that tarts were being baked.
So half an hour left, and Matt's over there putting Linda's crazy lattice strands on his head.
It's like a circus tent.
Yeah. And everyone's getting those cages out, and everyone's stressing and
gluing.
First one to break apart is Mark's bottle, Mark with the K's bottle. And
he did a risky dough. Remember, he was like, it's a little bit of a risk to do a rough puff for the cage, but I'm gonna do it. But that cage wasn't gonna work anyway, because that was also a very solid design with only like little holes cut out. And they said that there shouldn't be a super solid design. So he was doomed no matter what. I hate to break it to everyone. Yeah, I'm here for the truth.
You just got bent.
Yeah.
And Linda's like, I'm not going to get this off of the bowl. And hers starts to break. Mark's breaks. But Laura and Pete, drum roll, they do theirs. And theirs come out great.
Amazing. Yeah. And Laura's looked amazing. And actually, Lottie's I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and Hermine is gluing together different squares together, like different rectangles together to be a square cage. And then Linda keeps putting hers back in the freezer, but not looking good because they've only got 15 minutes.
Yeah, and young Mark, he has his broken cage. He just sort of like piles on top of his tart. But the thing is, the way the cage looks and the way it is sitting there on it, it kind of just made his entire thing look like a carcass. It just looked like flesh and bones, you know, like there should be some crows flying in and picking at it.
Yeah, and then Linda's is just a mess. She's like, it's a shame, isn't it? Linda's, it's a shame, isn't it? Cage tart.
That's going to be the name of her cookbook. It's a shame, isn't it? Here are 122 recipes that are specifically made for you to mess up. And then when you serve them, you say, it's a shame, isn't it?
And then you go into your shed and share a punt with your hubby. So judging time. Let's see here. Who do we start with? We start with Dave. Chocolate, mango, and lime tart. Gorgeous, Dave. I like the look of the mango, Dave. Not heavy-handed at all. Yes, your tart does look a little bit like an Anne Geddes baby picture, but for the most part, well done with circles, Dave. Well done.
Oh, the flavor's absolutely lovely. Now, what would you call this tart? Open taco with mango on it. I don't think that's really appropriate, but okay.
Paul's like, all right, you've made quite an impact, Dave. It's like, well, someone came back in a good mood. Someone just pulled one off during break. Because he's like, hello now. I'm not going to call everyone dry.
Someone must have visited Pornhub.com/limes.
Key lime.
So, Mark, old Mark is up next. Cage looks good. Tot looks good. Prue is, oh, it's a lovely and rich chocolate, but this base is way too big, way too big. It's all about that base, that base, that base, but this is too much.
So Mark, highly, highly mediocre. This is about as mediocre as Meghan Trainor. There, I said it. I've said it. And Mark looks like he's about to start sobbing. He looks like scared. He's like, there's a monster in the house. He's like, ooh. And Paul's like, well, I would like to see the chocolate to the edge because this base looks awkward and you've got this big chocolate circle on top. I don't know what you're doing here, Mark, with the C. Find a K, Mark. Find a K.
I mean, would you believe it? He had chocolate that did not go all the way to the edge of his tart. I mean, this is just a travesty, and everyone in Cornwall should be embarrassed to have you as a resident.
So Hermine is next with her lime confit lemon meringue.
And Prue goes, well, I think it looks beautiful. I think it's really clever design. I think you managed to get it to work. And then Paul touches it and it all collapses. And she goes, until Paul Hollywood managed to wreck it.
And she's even made some macaron that she put on top, which she didn't really get extra credit for, but hello, people. Nope.
Yeah. Well, they felt the base could have been thinner. And Prue is all of a sudden like, well, you know, it was a big Paul Hollywood, big cage, big daddy cage that it's almost as if this cage has just got off of a swing of some sort, and inside is the most delicate tart.
Overall, though, spot on. And then Laura's Kent Garden tart. And Prue's like, I'm very impressed with your cage.
It was an amazing cage. It had the perfect color on it. And Prue loves the key lime flavor. And Paul's like, well, I love it. You get that feeling in the back of your cheeks. And I'm not going to say which kind of cheeks I'm talking about. Hey-o.
Hey-o, key lime. So then Linda's gypsy tart. Paul's like, what happened? Oh, my God. And Linda's like, it's usually lifts, but today it stayed on the bowl.
I guess that's what I get for wearing the bowl as a hat through half the day, don't I?
But they love the flavor. And Paul's like, well, you know, it's a bit thick. It could have been thinner. Love the flavor. It's quite frustrating. Quite frustrating. You know, the way it looks, it just isn't good, Linda. It just isn't good.
Yeah. And so she takes it away. She looks like she's about to cry, which is sad because she's usually so happy and go lucky. And then Lottie comes up with her apple tree tart. And the cage is really cool. It's like, it's really thin and delicate. And it's really like a pyramid. It looks amazing. And Paul's like, well, I still question if it's a tart if it doesn't have sides. It's like I was telling my I just wrote an op-ed, actually, in the National Times. And I said, can a tart really be a tart if it doesn't have sides? And I don't think so. I took a stand.
Well, you know, what I have to say about this tart, it's much like Paul today after he heard the words key lime. It's very splugy.
but
it tastes beautiful. It tastes beautiful. It does look a right mess, though.
Yes. So then Peter, Prue likes the randomness, like the way the randomness of the swirls of the cage. And Peter, I don't know, did you notice Peter's face? He looked like he was about to faint. It was like he knew it's like right before he walked up there, it's like he got a call from his brother and saying, my gun is aimed at your face. If you get bad feedback.
Yeah, he did. He looked terrified. He's like looking for the exit signs on both sides of the tent. I'm like, oh my God, this is it. I'm going to die today.
Or it's like he snuck a bomb into his tart or something, and he knows like everything has to go perfectly. Yeah. And he has like 5 seconds to get out of there before it explodes.
Yeah. So Paul's like, looks like it's made out of bread, which actually is a compliment. So there you go. Lovely. The tart's delicious. It puts a smile on your face, partly because the back of your cheeks are going. Have I said that yet?
Do you ever just have some lime and get a full-blown erection? Anyone? Anyone?
So then Mark's broken bottle. Paul just looks at him like, It's like he just looks at him like he's going to devour him. And Prue's like, so the cage didn't work. It's like, not compared to what you achieved. Not Mark. The pairs don't even look appetizing, Mark with a K. Did we make a mistake calling you Star Baker Mark?
It's not a good one. The piping's irregular. The poached pears don't look appetizing. It's stupid. It's just a stupid, stupid tart in a non-cage.
So Linda's like, yay! Pastry week! It was supposed to be my week.
It's a shame, really. It is. It's a shame, really. So now they deliberate. And they talk about how the cages were astonishing. Like, the cages were astonishing. Well, you know, aside from Linda's and Mark's and... And then there was that other one that just was like a pile of crumbs. I mean, okay, it was mostly crappy, but it was better than the brownies.
And she goes, and Linda, poor Linda, but I think in spite of her exploding cage, Hermine must be in line for Star Baker. It's like exploding. Paul's the one who crushed it. Leave her alone.
I think even though, Paul, you just destroyed Hermine's beautiful cage with your indelicate man hands, I think she has to be in line for Star Baker.
Paul really likes Dave's cage, and Noel's like, but what about Sweet Peter? I mean, come on, guys, he's got to be at least up there.
Yeah, but in the end, though, then they all start talking about the people on the bottom, and saying like, well, Linda has to be at the bottom, and... Linda and Mark are at the bottom. Was there another person who was at the bottom or just the two?
No,
of them?
I think it's just Linda and Mark C.
Yeah. So now it's time to make to announce the results. So the Star Baker is Laura.
Laura, mate.
Hashtag pizza oven, hashtag live, hashtag blast, hashtag pizza blast.
And the loser is Linda. No.
I know. At the top of the episode, I did start to think like, wow, Linda, because last week Linda did pretty well. And so I thought, you know, maybe Linda's like coming alive. She's like, I think that like Linda's just hitting her stride, which of course, as soon as I thought that, I should have known I had cursed her.
Oh, Linda. But she's a good sport about it and laughs, you know, laughs it off. She's like, I've been like a child at Disneyland. One of the highlights of my life. And Prue's like, yeah, she's a good baker who had a terrible week. Just embarrassing, awful,
terrible. You know, the worst part was when the worst part was when she put those Mickey Mouse ears on her tart and we said, no, you're not actually at Disneyland.
And Laura, of course, is psyched, and it ends with her going hashtag winning it.
Yep. Laura. So that was Laura. It I guess next week they said it's Japanese week, so that will be interesting. I don't even know what that's going to be like, but it'll be very fascinating. And I feel like there will be some intriguing disasters.
Yeah, so we will see you next week. For tickets to our live show on November 12th, go find links over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Check out Dwell Hello, which is our House Hunters premium podcast over on Stitcher Premium. You can sign up with the keyword Crappens or with the code Crappens to get, I think it's your first month free or your first week free or something.
First month free.
Mm-hmm. And you get all of that. You get the House Hunters episodes called Dwell Hello. Plus, you get ad-free listening on all of our podcasts. And we'll talk to you next time, guys.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Mitchells.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Janin better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches,
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kiss, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.